We'll start with the set-aside prayer. God, please set aside everything I think I know about you, God, the steps, recovery, the big book, what's best for me, what's best for others. Especially help me let go of all my old ideas so I can live on truth, your truth. Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace and mercy on me. Help me to glorify you by carrying your message today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so the people on the podcast, when this comes out, I finished the 11th step on the last meeting, and I forgot to go over the what I really consider something that's really helped me do inventory at night, know the vision of God's will for me in step 10, how I should be during the day, what character I should practice, when I pause, what I should ask for. And it's the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi. It's on the back of the spiritual checklist. And for those, it's on the site, go under resources and it's right there, spiritual checklist. And the prayer of St. Francis of Assisi was discovered in a church in France in 1900, early 1900s, and it was adopted quickly by the Catholic churches in that area and has become something that has helped people around the world. Nobody really knows who wrote it, but they ascribe it to St. Francis of Assisi because they think this is the qualities that he exposed in his teachings. And what I like about it is it says, Lord, make me a channel of your peace. So what I really want to do all day long is have an open channel where God's flowing out of me and I can bring his character into all my situations rather than Michael's character. So if I'm disturbed at all, I'm not being a channel of God's peace. I'm being a channel of my peace. And that where there is hatred, I may bring love. So remember, it's in AA, it's how do I be? What is my characteristics that I bring into every situation? So if I bring love, I don't want to bring hate. And where there's wrong, I want to bring a spirit of forgiveness. Now, the spirit of forgiveness is essential for me because that means that I don't see anything wrong anymore. I just say, well, spirit of forgiveness, open it up. And I'm going to tell you something that happened yesterday. When I finish, remind me, and it'll show you how you work these steps. That where there's discord, I may bring harmony. So I want to bring harmony, peace, love, forgiveness. Where there's error, I want to bring truth. Not self-righteous truth, but just truth, which is God. God is truth. That's what the Lord said. And that where there's doubt, I may bring faith. Remember, if we're agitated or doubtful, we pause. And remember, faith is the gift we get as the result of the steps. And faith is a relationship with God and God conscious. And if we stop doing the work of the 12 steps, our faith is dead. So I see faith without works as dead from an AA view and not a Book of James versus Romans discussion, that if I don't do the work and keep my relationship with God, it dies. And we talked about the arch to freedom at the end of the, we build this arch, and the foundation of the arch is willingness, and the cornerstone is believing that God can help me, and the keystone of the arch is I'm not going to play God, right? And then steps 1 through 9 fill it in, and 10 and 11 keep the arch going. And if I stop doing the work, and the arch is the freedom from bondage to me to living with God. So if I stop doing the work, I get into bondage to me again, and that arch just collapses. And how long can I stay in bondage to me and not drink or use again? Does this make sense? And then I want to bring hope. And I should bring hope because look where I was. I had a hopeless condition. Now I have hope. Where there's shadows, I may bring light. And remember, light is God. We want to live in the light, not in the darkness. and that where there is sadness, I may bring joy. Not happiness, but joy. Joy comes from peace with God. And Lord, grant that I may seek, so this is what I want to seek each day. I want to seek to be comforted. No, to comfort. I want to seek to understand and to be understood. I always wanted to be understood. Well, nobody could understand me. And I want to understand, and I want to love rather than be loved. I want to focus on outside of myself serving God and others than by me. For it is by self-forgetting that one finds. Wow, who could say it better? When I forget myself, what do I find? God. And I find peace. And I become a channel of peace. And then I bring all those things. It is by forgiving that one is forgiven. We should have that branded on every alcoholic's head when they come into AA. Because if I want to have a life of peace, I have to forgive everything. Doesn't mean that I'm excusing things, but I have to forgive, because if I'm not forgiving, I'm blocked from God. I think somebody said that. We ask for forgiveness as we forgive those who trespass against us. And a lot of times they really haven't trespassed against us, we just think they have. It is by dying that one awakens to eternal life, dying the self. So this has all the elements of the principles of AA, and we're going to read in step 12 that we want to practice the principles in all our affairs. Now, a lot of people don't even know it's in step 12. Step 12 says, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of the steps. That's the only result you get. We carry this message that if you work the steps, you'll have a spiritual awakening. And we practice these principles in all your affairs. So what's that mean? Well, these are the principles. If I practice what's in this prayer every day, then my life will be okay. Not going to be perfect, but I'll be okay. And I'll stay on the other side of that arch, and I'll stay in the realm of the world of the spirit, and my life will get better. I'll give you an example of untreated alcoholism. Is that okay? It's not an alcoholic. I don't think the guy's, but I wanted to start a church Bible study. So I met this guy, and he was gonna, yeah, we're gonna do it. And so he set up this lunch on Tuesday at 11 something, and he invited a few people. And I hadn't met any of them, and we were just talking and visiting and this and that. And the guy was getting very upset. And he was not happy, because he had to leave at a certain time. And so he just got up, and then we were just visiting and eating, and I met some nice people, and he just left. And so then I got a text that he gave everybody this app that he wanted us to use for the Bible study, because he had this app and he wanted us to use it, and I couldn't figure out how to get it on my phone, and blah, 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 blah. So anyway, everybody got it, and then I got this email yesterday that he wanted me to find a place to meet Thursday at 11 a.m. And then he sent it out to these people. No, I didn't know if anybody knew if Thursday 11 a.m. worked for anybody. Who knows? And so, but he had decided that. And then he decided that we were going to study this thing on the YouVersion, and that we should be prepared to do it. So I thought it was this next Thursday when he's going to be out of town. It's the following week. So I called him. I couldn't figure out how to do the, you know me, if it's too complicated, I can't do it. So and Patty wasn't home, so I couldn't ask her to figure it out for me. But anyway, I said to him, so what's the, well, I said, well, why don't we have an organizational meeting the first time and discuss what we're going to do? Well, you know, and it's not next week, it's the following week. So I got at the place, and then I got an email from him to the group that we will be meeting on the 31st at 11 a.m. and we will have 15 minutes of discussion, and you can have coffee and your smoothie, whatever, because we're meeting at the Cafe KCL. And then each person gets 3 minutes to tell us what they would like to do. And he says, and of course, you know what I want to do. So I said, wow, untreated alcoholism, you know? And the reason he was upset on Tuesday is he was the actor running the stage. and the play and the scenery and the ballet, and it didn't suit him. So he stormed out. And so we're not the only ones that are really ill. You get it? But I couldn't possibly talk to him about the steps. But what I did do, after I talked to Patty about it for an hour, because you know I like to talk, and I said, you know, I just prayed for him. He's not spiritually well. I said the prayers and I put him in the God box. I didn't have to literally do it, but you see, he wasn't a channel of the peace. And people are like that, and we're going to be in conflict with them. So what we have to do is recognize it and bring this, no matter what. And comfort rather than comforted. Understand love rather than be loved. You see it? And I saw that as such a classic example. And that's why these principles work for everyone. But we are desperate enough, most of us, some of us, to do this. Now what I find is most people in AA won't do this. And I don't know if some make it or don't make it, but they don't do these first 88 pages, 112 pages. And so I don't know what they have. And I don't judge. You know, if some people are fine, they haven't done it, I don't care. And people could do it in their own way. So we're going to get to step 12, carrying the message. And I actually put my notes in this book. And this is good stuff. It's not real long, but it's really good synopsis of, it says, now that you've worked the steps, you've had the spiritual awakening, you have the tools to live each day in step 10 and 11, we can now sit down with another individual who has a problem similar to our own and convey an understanding to know what else can. Now, I've met a lot of people recently who have no idea what's wrong with people who have serious alcoholism or drug addiction, etc. They don't understand what powerless is. They still think that we should have willpower. If we get knowledge or counseling, you know, we'll figure it out. They don't understand what it truly means to be powerless. Anybody else in the room understand what it means to be completely powerless? And the feels the gift of the grace of God that I'm not powerless today. Isn't that something? And we don't think about that or talk about that enough. We could say to him or her, I've been there. Because of our, and that's what we should be doing, because of our experience, we can cross barriers of race, religion, every kind. There's nothing different about any of us. We're all powerless. We can understand each other in a very special and meaningful way. And it says, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to others. In the original manuscript, it says we try to carry this message to others, especially alcoholics. So it was theoretically written for the world. And of course, how many 12-step programs are there? And some churches have adopted it. And I know Justin taught at a church and did 12-step program. And to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Notice the words, all of our affairs. So there's only one result of the steps in AA, spiritual awakening. So what the heck is that? To me, it's knowledge of God. It's a faith that works under any circumstances. It's conscious contact, and it's a power to live. So I don't have to be in bondage to me. And then we read the promises on page 83 and 84. Those are some of the promises you get from living in the world of the Spirit. And then what is the message? You can have this if you follow their path. Now, if you don't follow their path, I don't know what you get. And I don't know if you have the same thing wrong with you that was wrong with them. Now, I read the book, and I have what they had. I was really sick. And I had a seemingly hopeless condition of mind and body, and I was very selfish and self-centered. And I made decisions that harmed me and others, and I had this delusion that I could manage the world if I would be happy if I could only manage well. And if I wasn't happy, I had to manage better. I didn't even realize that when they came in here. I didn't realize that my problem was me and the way I saw things. Now, I wasn't a bad person. I just got these ideas in my head on how to be okay. And now I'm okay if I'm with God. Jeremy agrees I'm really sick. And
he's really sick.
Oh yeah, he is, Jeremy. In fact, for those listening, I'm looking at some really sick people.
Right.
But we're all here on a Saturday morning laughing and joking with each other. How's that? Wouldn't it be great to have a video of our last days and we all put them on the screen as we go around the room? Just a few 10-minute segments. Wouldn't that be something? It's really, really a miracle. So anyway, let's look and see what Joe says. Step 12 gives us a guarantee. I'm not going to finish the chapter. A promise. This is a promise that if I take the first 11 steps and I believe according to the book, you have a spiritual awakening. Now, that's the other thing that I say. I see a lot of people recover in AA. They've never read the book. They don't work the steps. They're happy. I don't know what they had. And I don't judge that they shouldn't do it. Now, I did when I first started, I said, well, they're not doing it out of the big book, and they're not doing the 12 steps. So, but then I realized, well, you know, that's just part of my alcoholism. People do what they want, this and that. If they want help, give it to them. Show them the path you took. And so I see that also in my religious walk, that there's theological arguments all the time. On theology and this and that, and I don't care what anybody's theology is. It's, you know, it's none of my business. It says we've tapped the unsuspected inner resource of strength by working these steps, and our spirit is awakened. Now, it's unsuspected because I was playing God. So if you play God and you're running the show, you can't even think that there's another resource. You see that? And my spirit is awakened. So why was it asleep? It's always there. We say, and we agnostics, and I believe that the fundamental idea of God is deep down inside of all of us. But we blocked it out. It's like the Sistine Chapel with God pointing, giving the finger to Adam. And there's a little separation. And I'd love to talk to Michelangelo and ask him, what's that all about? Because I've seen it. And then, you know, like anything, you come out of the big chapel and they have a whole walkway of shops where you can buy everything. I bought rosary beads that were blessed by the Pope and gave them to all my Catholic friends and this and that. And the Pope's beads were a little bit more expensive than the other beads. I'm just being funny. Don't get mad at me or write me hate mail. But I bought that thing and I put it in my office, you know, for $5 you get a, and I just would like to know, what was that little separation? And to me, that's God putting himself inside of all of us, but did Adam keep it? And then there's a panels in the Sistine Chapel, as I understand, but I can't remember, it was years ago. But then they have the Garden of Eden panel, and then they have the one where they leave the Garden of Eden. And it's pretty well done. And I think we can all be in the Garden of Eden with God, but we leave and we go in our own world. And when I'm in my own world, it just doesn't work. Damn it. Isn't that bad? Wouldn't it be great if our own world worked? It doesn't work. You know why? It's the same reason that the Earth isn't the center of the universe. They thought it was, but nothing worked. Galileo couldn't make anything work. But once he put the sun in as the center of our solar system, or whatever you want to call it, it worked. Now, they didn't like that because they wanted to be the center of the world. You see how alcoholism, self-centeredness existed forever? So they wanted to kill Galileo because he said they weren't the center of the world. Have you ever been in an AA meeting and you told somebody that they should, you know, they need to believe in God, and they get mad at you and call you names and don't want to come back and all this other stuff, and, you know, you need to stop playing God. Oh, they don't like that. They don't want to be told anything. Alcoholics really don't like to be told anything. And so, but it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And 10 and 11 is how you see every day when you're playing God because your day's not working. Can you relate to that? And we're all going to do that. That's our nature, but we have to stop now. We have a power, we have an inner resource, God, that can say, okay, Michael, change the way you're seeing things. Now, if I don't go to God, the spirit stays asleep. Have you ever said, I've got this, God? You know, I've heard that. I've got this, I don't need your help. Well, that might as well just put the gun to your head. It's not going to work. Now we carry this message to others. I've tapped an inner resource with the first 11 steps. And if you have a problem in your life and you would like to tap your inner resource, this is the way to do it. Because it says on page 45 that we have a power, lack of power is our dilemma, and we need to find a power greater than ourselves. And it's the power greater than ourselves that solves our problem. It doesn't say problems. And what is our one problem that we all have? Conscious separation from God. We conscious in our own mind separate from God, and then we have a lot of problems. But the main problem is we separate from God. And what's the solution? Conscious contact with God. Is that anywhere in the steps? Step 11. We seek to improve our conscious contact with God, praying for what? Only the knowledge of His will for me, which is the St. Francis prayer, and the power to carry that out. There's nothing in the St. Francis prayer about getting a new car or getting things or having things happen to you. It's what you're bringing from God that's inside you into the world. And so this is a message. It's very simple. Here's a program that works. And that's why I started this meeting. I've stayed in the book. Done 1,600 meetings, maybe, who knows. And it's helped me. And I think it'll help people if they just go through it. And then, of course, I did the podcast so that if people wanted to listen to me, I don't know why they would, but if they wanted to, I could teach the book. You know, you can go right through it. You don't have to come here or anything. And it might help somebody. It's helped me. Throughout the big book, Bill talks about a sudden spiritual experience which affected his recovery and influenced his writing of the book. Yeah, he had a sudden experience and he describes it, the light flashing, and he felt this thing in the room. And to me, I think that was required for him to go 6 months without any help, any AA, and find Dr. Bob, and then bring the message to him, and then Dr. Bob and him went to AA number 3. And to me, it's kind of like the Damascus Road experience for Saul, where he was zapped and the burning light. He was blinded by the light of Christ, who said to him, why are you persecuting me? Stop. And then this is what I want you to do. And then he was blinded and he was taken into Damascus. They had to carry him out through a window, and eventually, what did he do? He died. He got his head cut off. But he went all over that part of the world and spread the message. And Bill W., he was a human being, had a lot of faults. Paul says he's fighting his flesh all the time. He wasn't perfect. And he couldn't stop doing what he didn't want to do. Does that sound like any of us? But he kept moving forward. And that's chapter 7 of Romans. And Bill kept moving forward, and he helped us a lot. God chose the strange people for a variety of reasons. But he has a plan, and we owe a lot to Bill W. and Dr. Bob. I just put Dr. Bob's story out on the site, Dr. Bob's night there. It's very powerful. And so it says, he talks about the sudden experience, but then they rewrote the book in 55 and they added that appendix so that it could be a gradual spiritual awakening, right? And the point that it says at the end of the promise, suddenly we realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. So to me, your spiritual awakening can be gradual or sudden, but suddenly you're going to realize that God's doing for you what you could not do yourself. And then I thought about it. I have spiritual awakenings all the time. You know when I get them? When I see when I'm wrong. I see I'm wrong, and I change my mind. So I used to tell the little grandkids that. So I was visiting my daughter the other day, and you know, she has a mind of her own, and the five-year-old say, "Change your mind, Mom." It was great, because I have to see where I'm wrong all the time. And I'm not wrong because I'm bad, I'm wrong because I'm seeing it through the wrong pair of glasses. You ever heard of the book, A New Pair of Glasses? Everybody used to read it. It was Chuck C. in 1978 did a men's spiritual retreat, and he talked about, gave six lectures, and it got recorded. Somebody actually had an old microphone, recorded it, and then they put it out on tapes, and now you can get it on XA speakers. And he said something in there, that what he got in AA was a new pair of glasses. He could see the world differently through God's eyes. And 10 and 11 is really, 10's where you're taking your glasses on and off all day long. 11 is where you're looking at night where you didn't take them off, and what you need to do differently the next time so you'll take them off. And the interesting thing is, all I have to do is take off the old glasses and put the new ones on, and then God will help me see it differently. It's not complicated. And so, I don't know that there's a difference between spiritual experience and spiritual awakening, but it's promised that you will change. You'll start to see things differently. If you've worked with a lot of people, once they start doing their four step and they look at their resentments, they're already starting to change. They're seeing things differently. And then it continues the more they do the work. Then it says, at the end of the promises, you notice it says, we read, sometimes quickly or sometimes slowly, but they will always materialize, right, if you work for them. Is that what it says? And it's suddenly or slowly, and they just materialize. They just come out. You don't like get a certificate. They just happen. And what makes it sudden or quickly? I think it's how fast you do the steps. I mean, how long do you want to stay separated from God, living in self-centeredness? And both spiritual awakenings start with one and continues to 12, and you live in 10 and 12. He says there's a lot of different spiritual awakenings as there are different, that's probably true, and so, but he says they have something in common. It says at the end of the one, we will be able to think, believe, and feel things that we couldn't before. And that is a major thing for an alcoholic. When I can think differently, believe differently, and feel things differently. And it's so good when that happens. Anybody relate to that? I'm going to shut up soon and we can open up. We're able to do things we couldn't do in our own strengths. Why? Because I have a new power now. We can receive God's direction in our lives. Now, was God always directing our lives? Yes, but we didn't listen. So he kept shaking his head. Way to go. Keep doing that. How's that working for you? You ever have somebody tell you some crazy idea? You know, they come up, I say, well, how's that been working for you? Or they don't wanna give up or forgive everybody, or they don't wanna work the steps. And I say, well, how's that working for you? That's not mean. If it's not working, do this. That's all AA says. If your plan doesn't work, do the first 88 pages in here, and then working with others. And then tell us the result. I've never had anybody do it and tell me it was bad. Then there is a promise in AA that if you do everything in chapter 5, how it works, and into action, you keep doing all those directions the rest of your life, you'll never drink again. Because you'll be constantly be seeking God and his strength. And this is what we carry to other people. Remember that we said if we believe in two, and we become willing in one to do anything, right? I think most people don't make it because they're not completely willing and they're not defeated in one. We believe in two, we decide in step 3 that we're going to have a new director, and then we act in 4 to 9. And then we enter the world of spirits in step 10 and we get those promises. And then we get the results of staying in step 10, inventorying our separation from God all day long, and the results of prayer, meditation, 11. And then that's a faith that works. And it says, now we know we are people who have faith. And then I'll just say that if I don't keep doing the work, the faith won't be of any value to me. Because I had faith in God when I came in, or belief in God. The faith to work has to be a trust in God. And if you stop doing the work, you start trusting yourself. It's very subtle. You don't even realize you're doing it. Well, I'm not going to come Saturday. He talks too long. You know, I've been to 4 meetings this week. Oh, I don't need to pray today. I've been doing that every day. I'll skip Thursdays. And you see how subtle it is. David's not in his head. When you work with people, you see how subtle it is. And then you know, your faith doesn't become trust in God, and it's not working in your life. So I'm going to start with that. So make sure, I'm going to mark here where we picked up so I won't review. Thank you.